For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory is his name. The King of glory, his title of fame. The King of glory, he ransomed me. The King of glory, his face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The King of glory is coming again. The Word of the Living God. What an awesome book is this book that we call the Bible. Students, and this is the bulk of the program, and I know the staff and the faculty and some of the, there they are with us tonight, and they are through all the services. But students, listen very carefully. I have something special to say to you. The Bible is God's powerful, precious, perfect, pure, pontifical, plain message to you. God is speaking to you out of his Word. God has a plan, a pattern, a program, a purpose, and a prescription for your life. I would admonish you to shut out all other voices, because the only true voice to guide your life, to be the lamp, to be the light, to be the source of strength and encouragement and salvation and heaven and hope and all the rest, that comes right out of the Bible. Someone said the Bible searches a man's heart. It satisfies a man's soul. It nourishes a man's mind. It lightens a man's path. It guides a man's footsteps. It dispels a man's doubts. It develops a man's character. It prospers a man's way. It defines a man's beliefs. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. The Bible is eternal in its composition. It is inerrant in its content, and it's impeccable in its character. No mistakes, no misgivings, no contradictions. It's absolutely, positively pure and perfect. And God has spoken, and I hope that you put on your listening ears, and I hope that you'll say with the psalmist, I will hear what God the Lord saith unto me. Are you listening? God is trying to get through to you in this Bible conference. Every speaker, every message and song has been designed to get to your heart and your mind as God wants you to be. God is still on His throne. He will take care of His own. His promises are true. He will see you right through, for God is still on His throne. I need to tell you that the Bible is the only book on planet Earth that God has unreservedly, that He has unequally and unhesitatingly, unequivocally dedicated Himself to uphold, to honor, to defend, to purify, and to preserve forever. Someone asked me, what does that word forever mean? It means forever. And that's what God's in the business of doing and being. It's forever things. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus again, or I love to quote Jesus. I know that you know that He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote Jesus, I never have to worry about being misquoted. He said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The manuscripts, the text of the Bible is better preserved than the writings of all the Caesars, all the philosophers, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, and all the rest. The Bible is incomparable. The Bible is unconquerable. The Bible has survived the pen of its critics. It has endured the attacks of the atheist. It has outlived its enemies. It's outsold its competitors. Now listen to me. I know that you're just so familiar with the Bible stories. You could tell me about Daniel. You could tell me about Jonah. You could tell me about all this. But listen to me. The Bible is not just another book filled with colorful stories about a strange people who live a long ago in a faraway land. No, no. Listen up, students. The Bible is God's encyclopedia of divinely inspired words. His truth. His truth about His creation. And the book of Genesis sets that out, and there it is for us, plain and simple. It's His truth about His plan of redemption for mankind. A plan that was brought about through His only begotten Son's sacrificial death upon the cross and His resurrection triumphantly from the dead. I ask you, who else but the resurrected Christ could say, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death? Who else but the resurrected Christ could say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Who else but the resurrected Christ could say, I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. The Apostle Paul went right to the heart of the matter when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which you also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. What else, Paul? He was buried. What else, Paul? He rose from the grave on the third day, according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Psalm 16:10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer to see thy Holy One corrupted or in corruption. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When God speaks, you and I must listen. Let it be known to all persons present and all men everywhere. The Bible is the best-selling, most fascinating, most interesting, most informative, most important book ever written. He who discovers the Bible makes the greatest of all discoveries. It is more precious than fine gold. It is more powerful than the forces of nature and man combined. It is more piercing than a sword with two edges. William Gladstone, one time Prime Minister of England, said, "Without the Bible, history would be a spectacle of unknown rivers flowing into unknown seas. But under its guidance, we can trace the complex currents to their springs and see the end from the beginning." You can call me a fundamentalist. Spelt with a capital, by the way. I was born into a fundamentalist home. I was reared by fundamentalist parents. I went to school in fundamentalist schools. I taught in fundamentalist schools. I pastored a fundamentalist church. I can tell you tonight, I believe the Bible is inspired chapter by chapter, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line, word by word, syllable by syllable, and letter by letter. Somebody says, "But preacher, isn't that rather dogmatic?" Well, I hope it is. I intended for it to be. When it comes to the accuracy, the authenticity, and the historicity of the Word of God, I am dogmatically dogmatic, like it or not. The Bible is perfect, and you cannot improve on that which is perfect. Trying to improve on that which is perfect is like trying to make snow white. We saw a lot of it in Texas last week. It's like trying to make water wet. The Bible is 100% right, 100% of the time. Dale Moody, that shook two continents for Christ, said, "I know the Bible is inspired because it inspires me. I hasten to tell you that the Koran cannot do that. The Book of Mormons cannot do that. The Christian Science Monitor cannot do that. Only the Bible. I repeat, only the Bible can do that because it is God-breathed. And I promise you, God does not have halitosis. I must tell you that every word he spoke is perfumed with the aroma of heaven." What a book! It's alive. It's amazing. It's awesome. What a book! It's absolute. It's authoritative. It's authentic. What a book. It's accurate. It's accommodating. It's assuring. The battle in Christendom through the years has been the approach to the Word of God. Is it infallible or not? Is it inspired or not? Is it inerrant or not? That has always been the dividing line between the conservatives and the liberals. Now listen, we conservative believers are married to the Bible. When we got engaged to the Bible, it's like getting engaged to the woman you're going to marry. You say, this is for me. And when you put the ring on and you make the vows, we made a vow to the Bible that we would cling to the Bible until death do us part. Since the days of Christ, there have been something like 70 million martyrs. Most of them have been over the Bible. Now, by the way, I read just a few days ago that there are as many as 300 people being martyred somewhere in the world every day. Don't forget to pray for those that will be martyred tomorrow. They're giving their lives that you and I might sit here and stand here tonight. Well, I know they're in a distant land, but it's coming to America. It's almost here now. The only thing that prevents it is some laws that keep people from killing us. There are people in this country, hear me, that would destroy every testimony, every life that upholds the Bible, the Word of God, and Christianity. The Bible links the past with the future. In 1939, a Bible was placed in a capsule and buried, a time capsule. When asked, why the Bible? The vice president of the Westinghouse Corporation of America said, the Bible is the book most likely to survive the ages. When they dig it up 100 years from now, they will find a connecting link between the past and the future. Where else could you find a book like that? Hear me when I tell you, the Bible does not contain a feel-good, colorfully decorated package of psychological nonsense. No, no, no. The Bible gives us hope. The Bible brings us happiness. The Bible tells us about heaven and how to get there for those who believe it and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The skeptic asks, is the Bible true? Is it reliable? Is it trustworthy? Is it authoritative? Is it final? And I can tell you that after preaching it for more than 70 years, I unapologetically tell you, the Bible is true. The Bible is reliable. It is trustworthy. It is authoritative. It is final. And I want you to open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in Hebrews chapter 4. As you're finding your place in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, just that one verse, you know it, after we pray together. Our Father, we're grateful for your timeless word. We're grateful that it stood the test of time. We're grateful that it's telling us again tonight, afresh and anew, who we are, what we need to know, where we're going, how we're going to get there. I pray that you would write its words upon the minds of every person in this room. I pray that you engrave it on the lobes of their hearts. I pray that you would deposit it in the vaults of their souls. I pray that as a sharp sword, it would pierce to that dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow in our lives individually and personally. Help us to listen to what you are saying to us. I'll praise you in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. You know it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now watch this. And of the joints and marrow, and, don't miss this, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that says to me that the Bible is a divine mind reader. Did you know the Bible is reading your mind as I speak? You're thinking about where you're going to go tomorrow, different from today, and the sports you're going to, maybe even some classrooms. I don't know what you're going to do, but you've been thinking about that. But God knows what you're thinking about. The Bible knows. And I ask you to listen to me as you've been looking for the title of the message, I understand. And it is The Power of God's Word. I submit to you in the first place that the Word of God has the power to frame the universe. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 11 at verse 3, through faith, now mark that word faith, through faith, not through science, not through psychology, not through education, not through philosophy, through faith, we understand, mark that word understand, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, watch this now, here it is, by the Word of God. To say that we understand means there's no guesswork, no speculation, no conjecture. We accept as true, the Bible is as true as God is true. That word frame means to render complete. Anybody would understand that when God wrote the first line in the scripture, Genesis 1:1, he knew it was going to be complete. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. Those four words will repute every ism, wasm, evolutionism, heathenism, all of the isms of the world. In the beginning, God framed it. The word create means to bring into existence out of nothing. And I hasten to tell you that only God can do that. I give you his word on that. Would you listen? Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. Here it is. I am the Lord, and there is none else. What is God saying to us? God is saying to us, nobody else can do what I have done, and I did it by the power of my word. I would have you observe with me in the second place. I just have 33 of these, so sit back and relax. No, I'm only kidding. The word of God has the power to illuminate the darkness. Psalm 119 and 105. You've seen it on the screen tonight. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hear me when I say it. We're living in a world of catastrophic darkness. A world that's made dark by sin, sensuality, and selfishness. A darkness that the ingenuity of man cannot penetrate. Think this over with me. Don't miss it. Science can send men into outer space, but science cannot illuminate the inner darkness of their hearts. Only the light of Jesus Christ can do that. Only Christ can transform the darkness of sin into the light of salvation. Let's hear a moment from the living Word himself. In John 8, here I go quoting Jesus again. You know I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Now in the third place, the Word of God has the power to bring the hope of salvation to hopeless sinners. Someone said, Jesus is the last hope to those who have lost hope. It may be that I'm speaking to someone in this audience. I know you're students in a Christian school. I understand that. But you may have become discouraged. You may have lost hope, disillusioned, disappointed, disheartened. Cheer up, my friend. The Word of God is bringing you hope even as I speak to you right now. Psalm 130 and verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. Men all over the world have tried in vain to find hope that will assure them of peace in this world and of eternal life in the world to come. I say they've tried in vain. One man wrote his testimony out, and here's how it goes. I tried 1,000 ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But all I need, the Bible says, is Jesus ever only. Let the sinner go to the doctor. All he can ever hope to be is a healthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the banker. All he can ever hope to be is a wealthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the educator. All he can ever hope to be is an educated sinner. Let the sinner go to the scientist. All he can ever hope to be is a scientific sinner. Let the sinner go to the philosopher. All he can ever hope to be is a philosophical sinner. Let the sinner go to the psychologist. All he can ever hope to be is an adjusted sinner. But let the sinner go to Jesus, and he becomes the saved sinner. Saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. Wish I had time to tell you the history of that hymn, but I'll do it another time. That's my invitation to come back. I'm just kidding. Now, students, listen to me very carefully. Most of you, I'm certain, no doubt, I'm certain that you came from a Christian home, out of a fundamentalist church, reared by Christian parents, in a Christian college, surrounded by Christians, taught by Christians. But you know what? That does not mean that you are a Christian. You can become a Christian only by the new birth. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. I'm quoting Jesus. You must be born again. And Jesus said, I'm going to quote Jesus one last time and I'll be through. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.